days ago, Kathy wanted me to get something at Walmart in the grocery section. So she says, you know what that looks like, right? I can't even remember what it was, but you know what that looks like, right? I said, sure I do. So
you have to be very specific about what it is and what it looks like.
It was bananas.
So banana. So, well, you know, when you're a little embarrassed about what you know, what you should know and you don't know, so she had asked me to get a few things at the store. So I went over to Walmart and I'm going down the aisles and I thought it was for sure it was in this aisle. I'm looking, and I know that it's a green and white box, and I'm looking for that, and I don't see any green or white box, and so I finished one aisle where I was sure that it was in. I went down another aisle, and I went down a third aisle, and I could not find what I was looking for, and. I ended up finding it, but it didn't look anything like I thought it was going to look like. Now, does that happen to you?
Yeah.
You know, where you think you know what you're looking for, but you don't. It's the same thing as something that is hidden in plain sight. You know, like, let me just see how I wrote this down. Sometimes, could you go get such and such? And, well, where is it? You know, you think you're looking in the wrong direction sometimes. Or you're not sure what something even looks like. And you can actually, I've been looking for things, searching for things, and it's staring me in the face, and I don't see it. Is there anybody else that's like, Reggie? Oh, thank God. There's a few people, right?
Most of them are men.
That's right. You noticed that, right? You know, sometimes. Yeah, I open the refrigerator. Yeah, there's a good one. You open the refrigerator door, and you're looking for a particular, you know, the whipped cream. I don't see any whipped cream. It's in the door, Malcolm. I'm looking in the door. I don't see it because it's hidden behind another little jar or something. You know, sometimes things are hidden, right? Sometimes we're looking in the wrong place. Sometimes we're looking for something that we think we know, but then we find out that it's not that at all. Right? These darn things. Do you want to say something, Bob?
You know, sometimes I'm more of a guy. And I know where it isn't. So I don't look there.
And that's where it is. Yeah. You're so sure that it's not someplace, and that's exactly where it is. I don't know how many times I've looked for something. I said, Kathy, I'm looking for a particular I can't find the right tie. I'm looking for my tie. And you know what Kathy's response is? Look in the tie drawer. Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. But these kinds of things happen, and sometimes things are hidden. You know, if Kathy has something in her pocketbook, all right, and she says, Malcolm, could you get my phone? Or I have your phone, I put it in my pocketbook. Well, I groan right off the bat because Kathy's pocketbook is the black hole of Calcutta. So, you know, she says it's right in the front. So after I say, I can't find it, she goes, Malcolm, it's in the front pocket. Well, what I think is the front of the pocketbook wasn't the front of the pocketbook. It was the back of the pocketbook. You know, so I'm looking at, that's not there. And oh, Malcolm. And so, you know, I just start diving my hand in, just searching, hoping. Just hoping I'm going to find, well, you know, sometimes when you're looking for something that's kind of hidden or you're not sure where it is, you just kind of feel around, right? You feel around for it because you kind of have an idea what it feels like. You know, I know what my phone feels like. So, you know, I'm in there trying to find my phone. I can't find my phone. And eventually, either I find it or Kathy comes up and finds it for me. So, you know, so we live in a material world. But God is in the realm of the Spirit. And in a lot of ways, living here in this realm, knowing and believing in the Lord who's in another realm, sometimes he really seems to be hiding. It seems like we tend to grope a lot. And even when we've become Christians, sometimes we're kind of groping for where God is in our life and situations or whatever. So I want to just talk about that for a minute. And I'm not going to have you turn to it, but Romans 1:20 talks about how in this material world, there's so much information, so much evidence that proves that God exists. Yeah. Here we are in a material world. And this material world and the things that happen in it and the creatures that are there and the way God has formed us and the intricacies of just being able to see with these complicated organ called the eyes and our brains and looking at the way things even were created. Scientists have to say, yeah, there was a big bang. Out of nothing, something came into being. Now, that's really impossible unless there's some higher power that did that, that decided to do that, right? Mm. Nothing can produce something. Mm. So somebody produced it. And there's so much indication in this life that there is this higher power, which we call God, Jehovah, the Lord, and we have all kinds of particular names that are associated with this Creator God who we now have come to know, so loved us that He came to earth. The Word of God was made flesh, came to earth, died for our sins, so that we could have a fellowship with Him. That, because He so loved us. He so loved the world that this is what He did. He created all everything, this God in spirit, and He created a material world. And then He, from the spirit realm, comes in the form of a man and dies on the cross for us. Now, that's the good news, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the gospel. That's the good news. What? No. Oh, I thought you were ready to say something.
No, Jack said something.
Oh, Jack. Did you say something?
It's such good news. God loves us, even the bad people in this world. He's like, oh, here's one person.
Yes.
I'll do anything for this person. But it doesn't make any sense because the person isn't giving him anything, but he's God. And then you start scratching your head for some reason.
yeah, very good. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and just tell you that our Bible studies at Joe and Sylvia's house, so you're going to hear what we're talking about because I'm actually going to be, the message today, it goes right with what we've just started to talk about. We're in Matthew 7, and we're looking at the theme of asking, seeking, and knocking. And that really flowed right in with Reggie's message last Sunday about prayer, because asking and prayer, you know, kind of the same thing. So, so I'm gonna take that, and we're gonna talk today about seeking the Lord. Now, if you look at Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and you will receive; seek, and you will find; and knock, and the door will be opened to you." Right? I think that's what it says. Now, the verb tense of ask, seek, and knock is an ongoing tense, which means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. It's about perseverance. It's about not giving up. It's about going after something that you desire, right? And so we're talking about seeking God. That's what we're talking about today. All right. So, with all that as a background, I had written down here in the bulletin. Those of you that have the bulletins, there's a saying that Kathy has at the very end.
Bottom of the first page.
Bottom of the first page. It says, "If you pray only when you're in trouble, you're in trouble." I thought that was really pretty good. And so many people in this life who owe it all to a creator that created all of this and for us to enjoy. We're in the world, not of the world, but because we're in the world, and talked about this a few weeks ago, God wants us to enjoy life. That's a really important thing. We're to enjoy life. And he provides for things in this life. We know we have an enemy that's always battling that. But we have a loving God. And we should certainly be thankful and appreciative of that. So, lots of people, they just want God to do something for them. And they only even turn to God, like this says, only when something bad's going on. Oh God, where are you? Oh, please help me. And then you get past that in your life, and then you forget about God until the next time trouble happens. There's lots and lots and lots of people like that. And very well could be even in the Christian world. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that God is there and he's powerful, but we have our own little agendas going in our life, and we're not really praying the way we need to. We're not really looking to God and really seeking his face, really to get to know him better and to reach out. And a lot of times that happens by the way we reach out to other people, isn't it? And that's a really important thing. So, but I thought that was kind of an interesting little thing. And it's funny, too, because, when we're seeking God, when we actually come into his presence, right? When we, all of you have sensed the presence of God, I'm assuming. You know what that feels like, even, right? There's a sense of peace that comes over you, even in the midst of lots of trouble. Sometimes the peace that passes understanding just overtakes you. Mm-hmm. That's the presence of God. Sometimes you're in, you feel weak and discouraged and downtrodden about something, and then not from your own thoughts, but a thought comes into your mind. No, Malcolm, buck up. You can do this. I'm with you. Yes, it's a struggle, but I am there with you, and you're going to learn something through this. And all of a sudden, where I felt weak, now I'm feeling pretty strong. Right? This is what happens when we seek the Lord and don't give up on that seeking. This is what's really important. I really feel like this was the message that God wanted to say to all of us today. Seek. Keep seeking me. Seek me. Because I'm there for you. I love you. I have things for you. I know that in this world, in this material world where there's corruption and horrible things going on and death and disease and all these different things and aches and pains and heartaches and all these different things. But I will be there for you and I will get you through it. He doesn't have it so that we live in a bubble. We go through the things of this life and we find the hope, the wisdom, the joy, the peace. All of those things come when we turn to Him. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And I think we all know this, you know, but it's the distracting things of this world that get us off course, and we need to be reminded of it
mm-hmm.
quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do. Alright, so let's just look at a few things. I would like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bibles. There are Bibles underneath the chairs if you didn't bring a Bible today. Okay, everybody? Everybody ready?
11.
I didn't tell you what verse to. 6. Okay. This is the Hebrews chapter 11. It's the chapter on the people of faith. And this is about faith. This is a chapter on faith. And verse 6 says this. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what?
Diligently
seek him. Yeah. See, we've got to believe that there is reward if we diligently seek God. Now, you ever play hide and seek when you were a little kid? You know, the person hiding from you doesn't want you to find him. Now just remember this. God in the spirit, us in the material world, God wants us to find him. Doesn't he? And but that doesn't mean that all the doors are just open, that God just opens all the doors. No, he wants us to desire him. And seek after. What does it mean to seek something? Search. Right? When you're seeking an answer to something, or has anybody seen a brown pair of boots? hiking boots. I don't know what I've done with them. It's the craziest thing. You know, I went to put them on the other day. And I go, Kathy, where's my boots? My brown boots? She goes, you have a pair of brown boots? And I said, yeah, I do. And so I'm looking all around. I scoured. When you talk about, this was seeking on my part. I scoured all through. I even asked Kathy to look. And see if she could find it, because sometimes my scouring isn't quite
surface scouring
doing too well. Yes.
Just thinking, like when you're talking about that, like a lot of times when you're seeking, you almost get like a panic, right? So let's say you lose your wallet, or you lose, like, like now you're seeking, but you're so panicked that there's no way you're gonna find it at that moment.
No,
you're
not
gonna find it because you're too worked up about it.
And isn't this true about God sometimes though? We get so overwrought that we need to relax and understand, hey, God loves us, and the more I seek, I'm going to come. If I diligently seek, what's the word diligent mean? No, you're not giving up, right? Diligent, you're going to stay at it, you're going to persevere. And the Lord has said this to me over about a month period of time now, that, what's wrong?
Nothing. The scripture that Sylvia wrote was, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me."
Yes. Because God seeks us,
yeah.
Right?
Pursues us.
Says, "I've come to seek the lost." He's looking to help us find our way, and we're trying to relate to a being that created this whole material world, is in the spirit realm, can live within inside of us, and you know it's not the easiest thing when you're all revved up or mad at God or whatever's going on in our life and pressed for time or whatever. But you know, I'll bet you everybody in here, when there has been that moment of clarity where you really, your heart really does go out to God, you know it. You meeting, He's there. Wait till I get to this one scripture. I just love this scripture. I'm going to get to in a few minutes. Okay, so diligently seek Him, not a casual seeking. Oh God, I need you right now, and I'm just going to put you over in the corner for the next number of days until I might want to talk to you again. No, there's a discipline that's involved with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a discipline for the sake of discipline. What it does is it gets us so that we get into the habit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many Christians are not in the habit of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all struggling for that. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, it reminded me of something that happened a couple of weeks ago. But my furnace guy, I called Jim Welsh, and he said, "There's a switch on the left-hand side of the furnace." And I looked and looked and looked. I called him back and said, "I can't find the switch." He came over, "It's on the right-hand side." But I didn't. In other words,
yeah,
it's the same thing with Scripture.
Right.
We have to look at the whole thing and all around it instead of just what someone says in it.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a good thing. That's part of seeking, isn't it?
Yep.
Is really do a good total job of it. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to mention these. We're not going to go to it, but you can look some of these scriptures up. Psalm 119, verse 2 says that we're to seek God with a whole heart. All that's within us. What does that mean? How does that look? How often is this supposed to happen? You know, there's so many questions, and only you personally and me personally are going to work that out with God. But God wants us to seek Him with a whole heart. This Creator, this loving God who sent the Son to give us eternal life. Wow. You know, He deserves it, doesn't He?
Yes.
Can you put your hand up if you believe that? He deserves it, doesn't He? He deserves that,
yes,
from us.
Yes.
Okay? All right. So, Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, "To seek Him early, and you will find Him." Now, the word early, It doesn't necessarily mean, oh no, I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning and to seek the Lord. Early means that it's a priority. It doesn't have to be early in the morning, but it's one of the first things that you think about, where we turn the day over to Him.
Yes.
right? Mm-hmm. And that word early also means earnestly. It means to be earnest about something. I'm going to be early there. Kathy and I, and I'm sure Steve and anybody else with teachers, we did not go, if school started at 7:30, we didn't show up at 7:28. We went early. There was preparation. There were things to do and an earnestness and an anxiousness to meet the day with the kids and to give them and to think over the things that needed to be done in the classroom and with the children and whatever. You know? There's an earnestness there. Right? And that should be with our Lord, especially of anybody, right? So just want to go with that. All right, now I want you to turn in your Bibles, because we're going to read this through together. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to be toward the end of it. You know, all through the history of mankind, we're material creatures. We live in a material world. God is in the heavens. God is spirit. And if we're going to worship him, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Right? So, here is Paul. I'm going to start in verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. It says this. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Well, that's interesting. Now, what's he looking at? The Greeks had statues of all kinds of gods. God of the sea, God of the field, the king of the gods. And there was all of these different gods and goddesses. The goddess of the hunt, God of light, all different ones. And he was there at Mars Hill, and there was it was a place where they had a lot of the statues of the different gods. So here's Paul, a monotheist, a Jew who knows there's only one true God, and he's not made with man's hands, and you can't make an image that is going to depict him. And he sees all of this stuff around Mars Hill, and he goes, "Boy, you guys are superstitious. You got a god for everything." This is the context of what he's saying here. So, before I read 23, the Greeks, ancient Greeks, also had a statue of a god, and it was titled, inscribed in stone underneath the statue, "The Unknown God," because the Greeks were afraid that they might have missed one of the gods. And so here's one that isn't named. We don't know who it might be, but in case there's one out there, and we don't want him getting mad at us. So they even had a statue for the unknown God. So this is what Paul did. All right, verse 23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship, it's him who I declare to you.'" So you don't know the God I know. Yeah, he's an unknown God to you. And let me tell you about who he is. And then verse 24 says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth." It's spirit realm and physical realm, material realm, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needs anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made one blood of all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We all have, God has determined how long all of us are going to live. Something, huh? Well, I hope it's a long time. But we don't know, do we? Because God is God, and he has that right. He's the one that created us, right? So this is how it is. And we have to accept the fact that God is in control. And our little temper tantrums that we can throw, God, why aren't you doing this? And but we're human, so we're going to do that. But we got to realize, God doesn't get moved by our little temper tantrums. He does what he knows is right for us at that time. Do you guys agree? You agree with that, right? Okay. Talking to the good, right group of people here. So then it says in verse 27, and that people, they, should seek the Lord if happily they might feel their way toward him. Which reminded me of me sticking my hand into the pocketbook, feeling around, that we might feel our way to God. Right? It's a process. It isn't always easy. God tends to sometimes step back and see how much we really do desire to get to know him. He hides on us sometimes. Well, why is he doing that? Why doesn't he make it easy? Yeah? You understand this, right? There's a reason why we need to see either how much we really do desire him more and more, or that, oh wow, I have a lot here. And then we can cry out to God, God, give me a deeper passion for you. This is what's been happening to me lately. I've been a Christian for over 40 some years, and you don't always have that burning thing going on. The way things go in life can get you off course. There's all kinds of things, and little doubts can start creeping in, and you have to deal with those things, and it takes a deeper digging in to God to get through some of that stuff. And I'm saying this because things in this world are not going to get better. We're coming toward the end of an age. It's not quite the beginning of the good one yet. And before that happens, there's going to be all kinds of craziness that's going to be going on. And we need to be people that have the light of God, the wisdom of God, the strength of God, everything that deals with being able to handle the situations that come up against you and I in life, and be able to be an example to the rest of the world that's in the darkness, how God is there for us, and therefore can be there for them. It's going to... We need to be people of light. That doesn't happen just because we become a Christian. This happens for people that seek him. Amen. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The people that seek him are in a better place than Christians that seek him are in a better place than Christians who know of him, have accepted what he's done on the cross, but are not particularly seeking him for other things in their life. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It's a, God is preparing a people for this end time thing.
Yes, we do.
And it starts in here. Mm-hmm. And here. Here and here. Reggie.
Just the what I find is the more I seek the Lord, the more I realize that there's change in me that needs to happen. And it's funny, and the more I change to His will, the more He shows me.
Yes.
The relationship just gets that much stronger.
It gets stronger.
And then things start to sort out easier in my
exactly.
Yeah.
We go through things to find out we're not grabbing a hold of the Lord and not trusting Him as strongly as we need to. And then we're stuck with a choice. I either get discouraged, well, I guess I just don't love God. I mean, why? I just might as well just give up on God. Or you go, no, I'm not where I should be. I need to stir up the gift that's within me. I need to ask you, God, do strengthen me in these areas with the fears and the you know, how to deal with problems and the wisdom I need for certain things. You know, and this is what happens when we make that choice and we choose Him. Boy, all of a sudden we start to find that, hey, I got a stronger relationship with God now. Exactly what you're saying. And this is what it's going to say here. Did you read ahead, Reggie?
No.
All right, so let's just read.
Some time ago, I guess.
No,
I cheated before.
You did. So it says here in verse 28, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divinity is like unto gold or silver or stone or something created by art or man's device." And sometimes that happens in the Christian world, where we try to make Jesus and God fit into our conception of God and Jesus. Don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God would never do that. And then you find instances in the scripture where He did. God would never speak meanly to somebody. And yet Jesus said, "Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." Oh, that's really being nice to somebody. You and I can't put God in our own box and say this is who God is, and then everything has to conform to that. No, God is God, and we've got to understand who God is. Isn't that right? Okay, so let's go on. Verse 30, it says, "And the times of this ignorance God has overlooked, but now He commands that all men everywhere repent."
Yes.
That means change your mind about yourself and about sin. That's what that repent is all about. Having an understanding, a consciousness that, yeah, I'm blessed. I'm a son, daughter of God. I got some things to change in my life. Right? It'll be okay. It's going to be okay. Right? And then he says in verse 31, "Because he has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He's given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead." Who's that?
Jesus.
So who's going to judge the world? Jesus. Right?
Yes.
So there is a judgment. There's going to be a judgment. Which, you know, God's love should be an impetus, but God's judgment should also be an impetus to us to get to know Him more. So that we can be all that we're supposed to be in Him. Isn't that right? And not allow the things of this life to influence the way we think of God and how we act with one another and what we do in our little private times, in our heads, and allow the really in a lot of ways demonic voices speak to us, to bring us down, to try to destroy us, eat us, devour us, because that's what the enemy's doing. He looks for ways to devour you and throw out all kinds of temptations to draw you away from seeking God the way you and I should.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that takes determination, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's why we have to diligently seek Him. I'm almost done here. So, would you... what's that? No, you don't believe me, I know. Okay. I think I'm just going to do one thing. No, two. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says that we are to study to show ourselves approved. What's he talking about?
Study the Word.
Get into this, because God has given us all that we need here. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so one of the ways that we can seek Him is to study His Word. And you know what? When we study His Word, we will be approved of God. Because we're going to understand Him more. We're going to reach out to Him more. We're going to look to be righteous and holy. We're going to be seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. All of these things come when you start reading this. You can go, oh, this is what God expects. And it's not to do some kind of some little law of God. It's, I want to please Him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to just go to one more scripture. I had a few more on here, but I'm not going to do it. Because I already said I wasn't going to talk too much longer. Psalm 27.
I'll give you $20 to keep going.
Yeah. Psalm 27. This is a verse that I have circled in my Bible, and I love it. I just love this. I love this, and I've asked God that this would be something that this is what I say to Him. So this is Psalm 27, verse 8. When you say, "Seek my face," my heart says unto you, "Thy face, O Lord, will I seek." Oh man. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, my heart says, I will seek you. God is asking us to seek Him. Search for Him. Don't give up. Persevere. Pray. Knock on His door. Because He's looking for us. Right? And when He says to us, "Seek my face, Malcolm," I want my heart saying, right from my heart, "O Lord, thy face do I seek." It makes a big difference in your life and my life when I'm actually doing that. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I love that verse. Just love it. You know, there's a song that has talked about seeking His face. In fact, didn't we sing something with "Seek Thy Face"?
Seek Your Lord.
But yeah, was it the last song? Crystal, where are you? Was it the last song? Anyway, some of the, because it jumped out at me because I knew what I was going to be preaching on, and it said about seeking His face. Some people only seek the Lord's hand. They want the Lord to reach out and do something for them. That term, seeking His face, means you want an encounter. You want a face-to-face encounter with God. And that happens in many different kinds of ways. We don't seek His... sometimes we are seeking His hand for Him to do something, to reach out to us. But to seek His face means I'm looking for a deeper relationship. One-on-one, intimate relationship with You. You know, that's what that's all about. Yes?
And with that, I think there was more that I was thinking that at that time in Psalm when that was written, to see the face of God was something very, very rare, and only a few people, Moses.
Right, right.
You know, few people had done. He was in a pillar of a cloud or a pillar of fire or in a tabernacle, which no one could relate to, but a few people.
Yes.
So, you know, to seek his face is something.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And for us who have the Lord, the Spirit of God within us, this becomes a little bit more grander. It doesn't have to be some, you know, the scripture says, an evil generation seeks after a sign. We don't have to have some grand signs. We have the Spirit of God within us that we know that He's alive. He died for my sins, your sins. He's within us. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we're going to live with Him eternally, forever and ever and ever. I don't need a sign for me to know that that is true. But people that aren't seeking Him, they look for something that's a sign. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need that, do we?
No.
I don't think we do.
He's already given the signs.
He's already given us enough for us to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Malcolm, there is.
So he doesn't really do those gigantic things. We can seek his face and really have an intimate experience with him without some grand overture of some grand sign of him appearing or whatever. I mean, he can do that, and he's done that in the past. That's up to him. But it doesn't happen too often. And we shouldn't be just, you know, when I was a young Christian, that's what I did. Oh, God, just appear to me. Appear to me. I got tired after a while because he didn't appear. You know, but what did that do? That didn't discourage me. That made me seek him more. Well, what is going on here, God? Why don't you do this? You know, and I'm finding that I don't have to have that because I already know. Yeah.
I just was thinking of a song, and I can't think of the whole thing, but it's, the more I seek him, the more I love
him. Yes.
And the more I love him,
the more I find him.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And that song was just going round in my head, because isn't it true?
Yes.
The more you seek him, the presence comes, the more you love him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a person.
Yes.
The more you seek the person, the more you love them. The more you let you see in all of this.
Yes.
It's just such a precious word.
Amen, amen. So Lord, we just ask you today that truly we would be people that would seek you more for our own sake, Lord, but really because you ask us. You ask us to seek your face. So, Lord, we say back to you from our heart, your face, Lord, do we seek.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.